So today I would like to, in this part of the meeting, I would like to look at the subject of the oneness in a congregation. Why is oneness so important? Why is it mentioned so often in the New Testament? Well, you'll recall that the Lord Jesus prayed four times he mentioned in John 17, that ye may be one. You see, that's tremendous. Our Savior and Lord, his prayer, not only for the 12, for the disciples, but for all who are going to be part of that group, was that they would know oneness. But why is the oneness so important to him? You'll recall what he said two times. Because he said that they may be one as we are one. You see, oneness, unity, is not something here on earth. That's not where it started. Oneness is a characteristic of God, the triune God. And the three persons in the Godhead, in their providence, have decided that they would like us here on earth to experience what they have enjoyed for eternity, oneness, unity. It's so important to God. And in his plan, the Lord was praying that we might be one. And we have looked at two ways about oneness. And now we will look at remember, the local church is not a miniature of the church which is his body. But it does have some overlap. And it does should show out that unity. But in fact, actually this morning, did you see it? No, I didn't ask you, did you hear it? I asked you, did you see it? Because the New Testament teaches in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that we being many are partakers of that one bread, one body. We were demonstrating with one loaf of bread on the table this morning, oneness. That's why I said, did you see it? And by we were partaking of that one. You say, I thought it was to remind us of the body of Christ, his physical body. And yes, it is. But it's interesting. It's the same connection again. It's one way in which we are showing oneness every Sunday in the breaking of bread. But now the question comes up very simply. What could you do in your assembly? What could you do to promote oneness? What could I do? What could you do so that your assembly would be more united? If it is a united assembly, thank God for that. Pray that it'll continue. What can you do to keep it united? If it's not united, what could you do to help it become united? That's what we want to see in the passage we have read here and those that we will consider. It is interesting that the mark of the first church, it is not so much one thing you're going to read repeatedly, and essentially what I'll be doing is a bit of a word study here, is you get this expression, these two words, one accord, one accord. Hamathumadan. I'm not speaking the language of that brother right there. That's actually Greek. And you just take the first part of that word, hama, like homophone. Hama, means same. What does that mean? Same. Same sound, homophone. You know what words are like that? Like the word whale? Yeah, I was going to say Jonah swallowed the whale. It was the other way around, wasn't it? Nobody's even following me right now at this point. And then there's the whale that my children did when... Don't look at me like I'm bad. See, it sounds the same, but hama, phone. That's the word here. Hama, thumos. Mind. In other words, they have the same mindset. They have the same thinking. They come to look at things the same. The characteristic of the very first assembly was that they were same-minded. They thought the same. They had the same perspective on things. And you will notice in the different mentions that it is connected with something distinct. So the first thing we have here is you will notice that here it is connected with fellowship. Fellowship. It is connected with fellowship in Acts chapter 2. You will notice that they that gladly received his word, and you have that those well-known and often spoken on verses, they that gladly received his word, they were saved first, were baptized, and then the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly. So in those verses there are four verbs. Two of them are active, two of them are passive, and you will see there that those four verbs describe the sequence. You receive the word, you're saved. Then you are baptized. It's not active because you can't baptize yourself. That's called taking a bath. They were baptized, and then they were added. Interesting to look into who adds. And then you have the whole concept that they continued. An active verb. They continue. What did they continue in? You have four things that follow. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. They continued in the fellowship. They continued in the breaking of bread, and they continued in the prayers. Those four things follow. They continued in. They all continued together. You say, well, that fellowship in there, what is that based on? You say, well, it was all based on they were saved. Yes, they were, but they were also all baptized. And before that, they were also all continuing in the apostles' doctrine. A New Testament assembly is not based on the body of Christ. It is based on the apostles, the shared doctrine. It is an objectively based fellowship. Now, that's different when we say we get together and we're going to say David and I are going to get together and he's going to share some Sour Patch Kids candies with me and we're going to have fellowship. No, that's not fellowship. That's not what this is. That's friendship. I'm dropping hints. Fellowship is based in a New Testament assembly on the doctrine that we share. It's not our friendship. It's not that we enjoy socially. It's not even that we all preach the gospel. It is based on the doctrine that we share. And so now this fellowship, it is expressed in some very practical ways, some results of sharing that common doctrine together. It is expressed in the breaking of bread. It is expressed in the prayers, the prayer meeting. The article is there. The breaking of bread. You say, but then they were breaking bread. How's that? Yeah, they were. Because breaking bread was similar to having a meal. And so he would, instead of inviting me over to his house for Sour Patch Kids, he would invite me over to break bread. Now, I wouldn't be thinking in those days that I'm going over and we're having the Lord's Supper. I'm going over because he's going to get out a loaf of bread. We're going to break it, put some cheese melted on there, a little sauce on there, have pizza bread. Another hint. You see how that works? No, in those days that another one of those same words, but we have to distinguish between them. One is referring to the breaking of bread meeting. The other one is referring to just a common meal together. But you see, the common meal together, hospitality, was one of the ways that they were expressing, because they shared that doctrine. All of a sudden now, they start to move together and show each other a special level of kindness and trust when they invite each other and share with each other. There were special needs. And as they looked around at the needs, because a lot of them, they were immigrants. And they didn't have much. And they were staying longer than they planned. They had come for the Jewish festival, gotten saved, and they were staying there. How would they do? They didn't have jobs. How would they survive? And the Christians begin to go into their resources. Another way you can express to those with whom, especially with those, to all the household of faith. Yes, but especially to those, a responsibility to those that are in the fellowship that have needs. And what you see is the doctrinal fellowship starts to show its way out among the believers. It doesn't mean you can't share it to other people, but this is particularly within the context. They were with one accord. That's what it says in verse 46. It says they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And so I just learned something very simple here. Fellowship is based on the doctrine. So if I want to know something, I just get on Google it, right? I don't know whether it's happened to those of you who work with children. Has it happened? Come on, be honest. You type in a Bible story because you want to just kind of get something to say about the Bible story, and you get this website and you look at it, and then you look up and your eyes pop out of your head because at the top it says LDS. I can see some of you know what I'm talking about. You see, you got to be careful about your doctrine, because that's going to impact the fellowship. We all need to be careful about who we're listening to, what books we're reading, you say, well, I like to get a different perspective on it all. Be careful with different perspectives, because you see, the doctrine is at stake here. And then as a result of that, when there is the sharing of doctrine, all of the other things come. There is the caring for one another. And there is the hospitality with one another. And that fellowship is enjoyed. And there is rejoicing together. And there is, well, it even results in, it impacts their worship and the lordship in their lives. But I just want to point out these two simple things. How can I, as a single believer, promote unity in the assembly? Number one, promote the doctrine. Get to know it, love it, live it, and share it. Number two, meet practical needs of the believers around you. That's what they did. You say, well, John, you've forgotten. Your vision's starting to go and you're putting on lots of clothes and you've forgotten what it's like. I'm a student. You know what it's like to be a student? I have very little. Do not equate your ability to meet needs with the amount in your bank account. You have no idea that there could be some believer in the assembly, and what they want, they don't want you to bring them $1,000. What they want you is to send them a text, just a text of appreciation that they're noticed. Just for you to pray for that sister. To pray for an elder who may be going through a difficult time. What need could you meet? Could you just send somebody a verse? You're reading a verse and you think, who could this encourage in the assembly? Fire it off to somebody. Use the technology we have and to try. And maybe there is somebody who has financial need. Maybe there is somebody who just needs a ride. And you have a bicycle. And you have a motorcycle. Did you know? Do we not see that right? You see practical fellowship and the doctrine. That doctrinal is first. And as a result of that, there are practical expressions. One accord. Now let's move, if you would please, with me. We're just going to go through this first church is so marked by one accord. Go to chapter 4, if you would please. And now Peter has been in prison. And look what happens. We'll read chapter 4 from verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Now it's not fellowship, it's prayer. They have a prayer meeting. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord God, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants, the apostles, that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, and they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Two simple points when it comes to oneness in prayer. The point is not now just pray for the assembly. That should be a given. If you don't have a list, make one. Of all the believers in the assembly, put that somewhere in your life where you will see it. Stop. Make it a reminder every day. Review the list. Pray for everybody in the assembly by name. But what I want to notice is, this is the prayer meeting. Now get this, please. This has impressed me. I did just my thinking on it. We read in Acts chapter 2 that they continued steadfastly in the breaking of bread and the prayers. In other words, their commitment to the breaking of bread was equal to their commitment to the prayer meeting. I have no idea what it's like here in Hickory, but I'll just say I have heard from several people that in many assemblies in North America, that your weeknight prayer meeting is often very small. That reflects something is wrong in our thinking. Is there any connection between that and sometimes disunity in an assembly and lack of oneness? The first assembly marked by oneness, when there was a call to come together to prayer, they were with one accord. They were continuing in it. I almost wonder if it would be just be, I wonder what it would take for our conference to be worthwhile. What if the only thing that came out of the Hickory Conference, all of us, including this man right here, went home with a renewed commitment and burden for the prayer meetings of our respective assemblies? You see, to God, that's so important. Because what is a prayer meeting? Why, here we all have different activities. He's over there, and he's working there, and she's teaching, and she's a lawyer, and he's doing this, and she's doing that, and they have children, and their families, and they live over there and over there, and we're all busy, and all of a sudden we come in the prayer meeting, and all of a sudden we sit down, and all of a sudden we... Up gets Brother Dave. And all of a sudden now, just think of it, we're all focusing on one. You see the unifying effect of prayer? We're one mind, one accord, and we're all giving thanks. We're all praying. It brings us all together. And you and I missed the prayer meeting? We are contributing to disunity. We're missing out, to put it positively, on the possibility. What a possibility to go and to be there. And that is a way to contribute in prayer. But notice not only their continuation in prayer. Notice with me their communication in prayer. They were communicating with God. And notice what, first of all, there was single-mindedness there. There was single-mindedness because they said they lifted up their voice. Now, Corinth was an interesting prayer meeting. It was a cacophony of noises, it sounds like. And everybody was talking at once. That's not the way it's supposed to be. It's one voice at a time. And so, when Brother Paul gets up in Jackson to pray, what is happening? He's actually the speaker on behalf of the whole assembly. That's why the teaching in the rest of the assembly is that when he says amen, when he's done, and what are we all saying? We all say, amen. Thank you. At least a few people are awake. Amen. Now, that's not just saying adios, God. We're done. We're out. No, that's saying what he has expressed is what we would express if we were praying. He's the voice. And we come together and he gets up and speaks. It's one voice. You see the unifying effect of a prayer meeting? Not only is there single-mindedness, but there's selflessness. Oh, this is perhaps why we faced a brutal reality a couple years ago. Hispanic sisters and brethren are very, very kind, and they would never want to do anything to hurt me. And finally, I had to twist out of these sisters. And finally, they came out and they told me the reality. Your Bible readings are boring. Well, thank you very much. See if I ever ask you again. I haven't had the courage to ask them about the prayer meetings. Why do sometimes prayer meetings just seem... Come on, can I just say, be so bold? They're boring. Why? The same three brethren get up and pray the same three prayers? I didn't mean here in Hickory. I just meant like in places a long way from here, like West Phoenix. Notice how they prayed. The first thing they got up was right out of their mouth... There's men in need. They just got out of prison. And those men are going to go out and preach the gospel and risk their lives. You think they would say, Lord, remember Peter. Hold on just a moment. Before it's a self prayer, when they open their mouth, praise comes out to God. Thanksgiving to God. They talk about, isn't that what the Lord said when he taught them how to pray? He said, remember, pray, our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Talk about God first. Maybe their boringness of prayer meetings is because we are poverty stricken when it comes to being able to speak about God. In Spanish, we were looking at that prayer, that model for prayer. In Luke chapter 11, is that the difficulty? We do not come ready to speak to God about God. And if we... You say, well, when I come on Sunday morning, I take time on Saturday night, or I get up at I get up early on Sunday morning. Breaking of bread is at 9:30. I'm up with a rooster, like 8 o'clock. And I'm up early trying to get some thoughts together. And I'm with my Bible and I go to breaking of bread prepared. Thank God. Keep at it. But what about having a preparation time for prayer meeting? How many of us do that? Do we treat the breaking of bread and the prayer meeting differently? What would happen if all of us as young brethren, I got that in there. If all of us as young brethren, we came together, and when we came to the break, not that we would have a 7-point sermon we're going to preach out. No, just something of Christ that we were enjoying for the day. Just mention it in passing, and then pray. Well, how did they pray? Their communication was selfless, but you'll notice it was scriptural. They quoted the Old Testament. They called it the... What if you memorized a verse or a phrase of a verse even during the week, and you came with that phrase in your mind, and when you pray... I think our sister, they might almost go charismatic on us. Something fresh from God. Scriptural. Selfless. Specific. They prayed specifically. You look down at verse 23, 29. And then above all, you'll notice it was, I don't like this one. The doctor here, he likes it short. It was short. Short prayers. Oh, well, that's a lack of spirituality, isn't it, brother? Longer, the more spiritual. God help us. We need to go back. If my good brother was saying, he sometimes wonders if we're just saying prayers. What if we really learned how to pray publicly? Short. Scriptures. Christ. Selfless. Serious. Coming together. If we had prayer, so let me ask you now, how many of us pray about the prayer meeting before we go to the prayer meeting? Sisters, could you please make it your exercise to pray about the prayer meeting? At least I'm trying to get them to pray, because that way maybe they'll be a little less brutal on me when I ask at home, how do you like the prayer meeting? You see, this is important to God. That's how we can contribute, the prayer meeting, to the unity of the assembly. Time is almost gone. Just go over, if you will, please, to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, and we'll skip what we mentioned in Acts chapter 2. Just notice in Acts chapter 2, we did mention there about how they were together as one accord in the preaching of the gospel before the beginning of the assembly. If you went to chapter 5, you would see them together in Solomon's portico there, together again in evangelism. And evangelism is a great way to show unity and to promote unity in the assembly. But in chapter 15, I just want you to notice there has been the conference here, and we're going to just find out why. Verse 22. Then pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. They wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren, send greetings unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us, have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying, ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good unto us being assembled. With one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who also tell you the same things by my mouth. And then he goes on with the closing of the letter, and he ends, fare ye well. Could I just mention the last thing here that contributes to the unity of the assembly, and this hits close to home, and that is leadership. Where some men went out from Jerusalem, they went down to Antioch, and they started preaching that in order to be saved, you actually had to be circumcised as well. First thing you know about, notice about leadership contributing to unity is spiritual sensitivity as to who the people were. They went out, what the issues were, they were in touch with it all. The leaders came together, the elders and the apostles in Acts 15. There was spiritual sensitivity to what was going on and how the impact of this assembly was on another assembly. That's spiritual sensitivity. Not just going through the routine. We need to develop, those of us that are responsible with local responsibility, spiritual sensitivity. And how did they solve the problem? They got together and they opened the Word of God. Peter speaks. He tells about New Testament revelation. James speaks and he quotes Old Testament revelation. They bring to bear on the issues the Word of God. That's what why? Because remember, the very beginning was that was doctrinal fellowship. And so these men now are carefully sifting through it all, trying to understand who is this, what they did, how this came about, what they are saying, and they check the Word of God, they search the Scriptures, and then they pick out some men to try and take this message down. You see, the selection by oversight for different responsibilities is not just a haphazard, what do you call that thing? Excel spreadsheet. Well, last time we sent Brother Phil. He was okay. Good job. And this time we're going to send Brother Bobby because he's next on the list. Phil was good, but Bobby probably be better. No offense. Amen. Yeah, thanks. No, that's not the way it is. Spiritual selections. Who could do what? Not just randomly following a list. Who's in spiritual good enough condition to help with the preaching of the gospel this week? Who would be the best one to go and to take this message to that older brother? Involving, you see, that is tremendously exhausting sometimes. And to seek to the spiritual sensitivity to issues and people, scriptural study, spiritual selection. How do you contribute to he said, I thought you were speaking about leadership. Yes. The last one is this, spiritual submission. It says when the elders made the decision, not only about what was being sent, who was actually doing the particular responsibility, it says they were all together with one accord. Can I ask you, do you support your elders? Do you pray for them? Do you stand by to help them? What if they asked you to do something that you didn't, that made you uncomfortable? Something that you had you just weren't so sure about. Would you be willing to bend? Are you going to dig in? Are you willing to just, I'll make a personal sacrifice. I'll make a personal sacrifice because to me, I understand that this feature of the Godhead, God wants that in the assembly, and it's far more important for me to just promote one accordness. Oneness, one-mindedness, than for me to get my idea published and practiced. You see, pushing our own, that's not going to promote unity. Supporting, helping, and submitting to spiritual leadership. May God help us to love the oneness of the assembly and put our hearts in to promoting oneness in the local churches. May God bless us. Amen.